God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm going to ask you all a question, and we'll actually be quiet long enough for you to spend a second to think about a response in your mind, okay? Have you ever had an experience of feeling invisible? Maybe a time when you were new in a school, maybe you have to think back to your childhood, a time when you walked into a room and knew no one and nobody spoke to you. Or perhaps it was a time you were waiting for medical care someplace and people just kept walking past you and nobody acknowledged you. Was there a time in your life when you have felt invisible? Let you think for a second, because I would like actually each of us to hold in our hearts what it felt like in some specific time that you felt the people around you paid no heed to you at all. Now, this isn't a time that you wished you were invisible, that you did something that was maybe a little embarrassing and you wished you were invisible. This is a time when nobody acknowledged you. Just a second to think. Unfortunately, I think all of us can fairly quickly call to mind one of those times that just feel terrible. The Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman that we hear about in the gospel lesson this morning, most certainly was invisible in most places in her culture. And it's really quite remarkable to reflect on the ways that she finds the inner strength to do what she did. So imagine if you're in your place where you feel invisible. Maybe you're a little bit awkward, walking around, not exactly sure what to do with yourself. I think about, you know, what it would be like, say, if I walked into the Hyannisport Yacht Club, for example. I'm pretty sure nobody, unless I had my collar on, somebody might talk to me then, but if I just walked in, you know, chances are everybody knows who they know, and I'm not picking on that particular yacht club. Any social club, you know, walked into a country club, walked into any social club, where you weren't necessarily with a member, it's very uncomfortable to walk into a space where you don't know anybody. And to think about her finding the courage to speak to a male, a Jewish male, when she was a Gentile, and to make a demand of him. So it would be like me walking down to the Barnstable Yacht Club and walking in and feeling really uncomfortable, invisible, and then yelling, "Hey, Commodore, I need something from you. Come and help me. My daughter is in trouble." It's incredible to think about the courage that it took for her to reach out and to call for Jesus in that way. And then you're already feeling a little uncomfortable, invisible, second-class citizen, and you hear the people around you saying, "Oh, gosh, look at that woman. Just dismiss her. Just get her out of here. She's disturbing us." So now you might be a little bit embarrassed, and you fall on your knees in front of the person that you are seeking help from. You further humble yourself and say, "Lord, please help my daughter." So here you are, feeling invisible, a second-class citizen, now possibly embarrassed, on your knees. This is where it gets a little bit icky. Jesus calls you a dog. So now you're hurt and possibly humiliated. There's no softening of what Jesus says. Some commentators say, well, he really meant puppy. That's better. No, it was not intended to be a compassionate response to this woman. And so here she is on her knees, and we've all been in those places where we've been hurt or embarrassed or humiliated, feel invisible. And, you know, 3 weeks later, 3 days later, I think, oh, you know what I should have said? You have that response. Well, she said it on the spot. She comes back immediately and says to the Lord, but even dogs eat the crumbs under the table. Because her faith was so tremendous, giving her the strength to call out, to stay present, to humble herself, and then to respond when she was even further hurt. Her faith was so tremendous, she knew that even a crumb of the healing of our Lord was all her daughter would need. It's an absolutely extraordinary portrait of strength and faith. But this story is not meant for you to compare your faith to that and say, oh gosh, I certainly wouldn't have the courage to walk into some situation where I'd feel awkward. I'd like to think if my daughter's life was at stake, I would have the courage to speak up, but gosh, I'm not sure. Depending on the circumstances, maybe or maybe not. And would I then kneel at somebody's feet and respond with grace if I was insulted? No, the story isn't an opportunity for us to criticize ourselves, but to think about what faith is in your lives when you feel invisible. How do we access that strength that each and every one of us has? Somehow, this Gentile woman knew deep in her heart and soul that she was made in the image of God and had every right to ask for what she needed. This woman also had deep faith in Jesus, even if he was obviously having a bad day, he was a bit cranky. She had faith in the goodness of our Lord. This reminds me of a time when I was in seminary. I worked at a downtown service, a downtown church. We had an outdoor service in Franklin Square Park where we would have a Eucharist and then give out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or soup, whatever. And I always went down between classes. A class would end at 11:30. I would jump in my car, run downtown, do the service, and would have to be back by a theology class at 2. So at the end of street church, I would have just enough time to walk to my car and drive back to the seminary. And usually as I was leaving the park, I knew enough of the guests who came to street church that as I was sort of gently jogging out of the park would say, you know, hey, Tony, have a great week. It was wonderful seeing you. Or Michelle, good luck with your job interview. I'll be praying for you. Just, you know, as I saw folks, I would call out to them. But there were plenty of people that I just walked past without even looking at them, let alone smiling or greeting them. And there was one day I was carrying something. I can't quite remember what it was. It was probably leftover sandwiches or chips or something. And somebody from one of the park benches yelled out to me, hey, preacher lady. I ignored him. Kept on walking. And he yelled out, hey, preacher lady, what you carrying? And you know, I didn't want to be late for my theology class where I would learn about how to respond to the poor. So I ignored him. Got my priorities straight, so I keep on going. And he yells out one more time, hey, preacher lady, I know you hear me. And I just died laughing. His persistence, his humor, his gentle demand for my attention finally cracked through my own thick head and can't be late, 395 traffic. And, you know, I stopped and talked to him and gave him the sandwiches and was so grateful that there was enough self-love in him to call out to me. And that he trusted that no matter how dense I was on the surface, if he persisted, there was some goodness someplace there. I think the Canaanite woman gives every single one of us hope that when you feel invisible in our culture, when you feel invisible to God, when you feel like you're praying and praying and praying and nothing, that you are made in the image of God and have every right to ask. And God's goodness is all-encompassing, even if you feel that there's no immediate response. So the next time that you find yourself in that space of feeling invisible, second-class citizen, not being responded to in whatever way, I hope that you will have faith to be persistent, to know so deeply in your soul that you are made in the image of God, that God is love, and therefore that God's goodness and God's love will echo into your lives, even if sometimes it feels like you have to keep at it and at it and at it. May this Canaanite woman bless each of us with that persistence, with that faith in God's goodness, and with that strength to stick with it when it feels so difficult. Amen.
Amen. Amen.